Welcome to the talk show dedicated to the wine industry. It's All About Wine. With your host, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call our guest line at any time during the live show at area code 646-727-3235.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is educate people and make wine less confusing and more friendly.
Broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com from coast to coast.
Basser, Kansas.
Deming, New Mexico.
Ithaca, New York.
Knoxville.
Lancaster County, Pennsylvania.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Montana.
Moscow, Idaho.
New Hampshire.
New Mexico.
Santa Rosa.
Sevierville, Tennessee.
South Dakota.
The coast of Maine.
The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
Westport, Mass.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. Alba Vineyards.
Blog.10Live.
Boyslip Winery.
Brotherhood.
Camas Prairie Winery.
Candia Vineyards.
Hello, the Borgeses.
Eagle Springs Winery.
Flathead Lake Winery.
Free the Grapes.
Grapesandwine.cal.cornell.edu.
Heritage Vineyards and Winery.
Hershey Harrisburg Wine Country.
Holyfield Vineyard and Winery.
Hummingbird Ridge Winery.
Joy Soy of Wine.
Prairie Berry.
Rainborn Wines.
Rocky Top Wine Trail.
Sheila Lauer Vineyards and Winery.
Southwest Wine.
Hebert Hill.
Ten Spoon.
University of Kentucky Extension.
Vineyard at Hershey.
Vivac Winery.
Walt Vineyard.
Westport Rivers.
Wine Flower.
And around the world.
TheDriftingWinemaker.com. I just arrived in Bali about 3 days ago.
All About Wine is on.
If you have any questions or anything to talk about, we will be more than happy to talk to you about or search it for you or try to find information for you out there, because there is a lot of information out there about wine.
We do occasionally get off topic.
Belvoir Winery.
The most well-known haunted winery in the Midwest.
I've heard voices at the winery.
Call area code 646-727-3235 and let's talk about wine on air. And now, wine enthusiast and industry representatives, All About Wine is on. Here is your host, Ron.
Thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you all out there, listeners, for joining us tonight. It is a beautiful day here in Central Florida. Well, Central Coast, Florida. We had a high today of like 87, clear skies, cloudy this morning, clear skies this evening, and it's supposed to be beautiful for the next 3 or 4 days, no rain, especially this weekend, because we have a big event this weekend at the winery, our third annual Pet Fest. We do this, started 3 years ago, obviously, for the third annual. Started 3 years ago. It was smaller then. We had like 40 vendors. We've got double that this year. There's 80 vendors scheduled to be out there. And I expect them all to show up because it is going to be such a nice day. High is only supposed to be 85, and the humidity is supposed to be low, and it's supposed to be just a great Florida day. Chamber of Commerce Day I've heard them referred to. That's the one that the Chamber of Commerce tells you. This is what the weather is like here. I also read something the other day, too. I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but I read something the other day, a week or so ago. 734. That's the number of people that move into Florida every day. 734 new people move to Florida. And a lot of them been stopping by the winery. I mean, a lot of people out there who say they're moving in or they just moved in and stuff like that. So it's exciting. It's fun. And it's fun that they stopped by the winery and found us and all that. So this Saturday, if you're in the area, Pasco Pet Fest, 80 vendors. We have entertainment. We have all sorts of pet adoption groups are going to be there. Just a bunch of stuff going on. I have been spending the last 2 days prepping the area. I mowed. A lawnmower's acting up on me. It dies for no apparent reason. I drained the gas of it and checked the filter, the fuel filter, and it was fine. I started a lawnmower, and it was okay, and then it started to act up again. So I don't know what it is. Repairman is supposed to come by. It's still under warranty. So this repairman is supposed to be by and take care of it, and we'll get that done. But the grass is mowed. The weed eater has been weed-eated all the areas. I took out the blower and blew everything off today. All the areas are nice and clean. I need to do a little bit of pressure washing tomorrow of some areas around there. Just get that a little bit pretty, and I think we are all set. But I'm really, it's been a lot of work leading up to this. But it's worth it because it's a great event. So come out. If you're in the area, stop on by. We have some just miscellaneous stuff for you today. I am going to start doing haunted shows next week. I know this is the 1st of October, but I've been quite swamped trying to get this stuff done for this Pet Fest. So I haven't spent any time on the computer. In fact, I just looked at the computer for the first time like 3 days, and I noticed a good friend of mine in high school, a female, passed away a couple of days ago. So Linda, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, then best to you always. So we have some information and stuff again for you tonight. Pass on a few things, a few odds and ends, and talk about a little bit of stuff. And I'm going to, well, if I don't talk too much, I'm going to try to end this a little bit before 8 tonight because I have some things I got to take care of. So, but let's start out with some wines here. Josh Sellers Lodi Zinfandel. A new varietal to its portfolio from Dutch Family Wine and Spirits. The Dutch Family Wine and Spirits is out of White Plains, New York. The Dutch are the Josh Sellers brand added a new varietal to its portfolio. It's the Lodi Zinfandel. They say it features notes of white pepper and spice with a concentration of vanilla bean, oak, and blackberry fruit. It features flavors of juicy blackberries, cardamom, licorice, finishing long with a toasted smoky oak flavor. The wine is available at Jewel Osco, Safeway, and Albertsons nationwide. Suggested retail price $15.99. So if you are... Actually, we do have Albertsons here. I was going to say we don't have any, but Albertsons are still around. So if you see that, if you, it's sounds like it might be good. So check it out. The Josh Sellers Lodi Zinfandel. Also, packaging news. Cab Corp announced new packaging for and a new name for its La Playa Block Selection Reserves. The new name is now Tinga, T-I-N-G-A, and it will assist in the three-tiering of the wines that they're offering. The La Playa Estate Series, the Tinga Block Selection Reserve, and Axel, A-X-E-L, wines. The packaging features traditional stone carving of an ancient symbol of water, along with the spot gloss varnish over the Tinga label for starker contrast. Additionally, the varietal is clearly written on each label. Total set includes 7 different varietals: Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Carmenere. Cool. All right. Pinot Noir and Claret Red Blend. Sauvignon Blanc and Chardonnay are also on that set. All the varietals use a Claret Bordeaux bottle except for the Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, which are bottled in Burgundy bottles. Each wine has a custom screw cap closure with matching color scheme and water drops from the main emblem. It's truly a segment their tiers, La Playa mentioned, only on the back label. So check it out. It's the new one's now Tinga. Carmenere. I'm going to have to see if I can't find a Carmenere on that. I do love a Carmenere. I always have, and it's been one of my favorites for a long time. Emmys. I don't know if you're a big-time Emmy watch. I'm not. I don't watch the Emmys. It's just too long and boring. It's so much easier to pick up the paper, look online, and find out who won. But Penfolds out of Australia. Penfolds is proud to make its debut as the official wine partner of the 67th primetime Emmy Awards season. This is the first time Penfolds is partnering with the Television Academy to provide its wines to Emmy nominees, presenters, and members of the Television Academy. To celebrate, each primetime Emmy winner will receive a bottle of Penfolds Ben 389 Cabernet Syrah in a commemorative wooden box, specially engraved with his or her name. A larger selection of Penfolds wines will also be available to sample at the Penfolds Bar as guests mingle at the ultimate Emmy after party, the Governor's Ball. So, Penfolds is offering all that good stuff to them. Good for them. Penfolds is good wine. I've always enjoyed their wines. So, but they're going to be at the Academy Award or the Emmy Awards this year, or however they do that. The Dome. I don't know if any of you watched The Dome. It ended its run. Let me ask my engineer. How long was The Dome on? 3 years? 3 years, yeah. That's what she says. She watched it. I watched it the first year, and then something came on another channel, and I watched that and lost interest in The Dome. Besides that, I got a little tired of them being stuck under the dome. But that's neither here nor there. It's over. It ended. But Cape Classics added to its line of premium wines with this Lawrenceford The Dome Chardonnay. And it's got it says Dome on the label, and it's got a dome showing on the label. Available in New York and other major markets through M.S. Walker. You can check, distributors and select markets. CapeClassics.com is the internet website for this, so you can check probably where they have it there. Cape Classics portfolio has more than 20 brands of South African and French offerings. At the highest peak of South Africa's Helderberg Mountain, the Dome creates a natural amphitheater where the Lawrenceford vineyards are situated and served as inspiration for the new Chardonnay. The result is a combination of Kulu soils and microclimate, tropical fruit with a caramel nutty undertone. They're suggested retail $19.99. So, if you'd like a, well, it doesn't say anything about oak. I don't know. It may be an un-oak shard. Is that possible on this? Not too many people do that, but that would be cool if they did. Major. No, I'm not going to talk. I've got more to say about that. Belgium's Talking Bottles. Belgium. For nearly 10 years, a team of developers at KHS, which is a packaging machinery OEM based in Germany, has been working on a technology that permits direct digital printing on beverage bottles. Now, with the launch of Degschutel brand beer in 33 milliliter PET bottles, those package printing visionaries can appreciate the fruits of their label on a store shelf. Actually, with a smart device and the right app, they can hear the fruits of their labor on a store shelf. Just that. They've got it that if you have I've got a blank on this. I'm sorry. What is that? QR code. If you have a QR code, you can pick up your phone on that, and it will tell you about the product inside. They don't have it for wine yet, but they said that the possibilities is limitless. They can have it for anything. So when you're shopping through a store, instead of trying to pick out a wine and not sure what it's like and all that, or reading the limited room that they have on a label, there is a real possibility that sometime in the future you can just scan it and it will tell you what the wine is all about and what you should expect and find from it and all. So, interesting, I thought. A lady wrote in Beverage Industry Magazine, Barbara Hoffman, she's a managing editor, was on tour in downtown Los Angeles and visited San Antonio Winery. And let me just read you this paragraph here because I was amazed at the size of what they're doing. I'm in San Antonio Winery in Los Angeles. I'm not familiar with it at all. As she said, on a tour in the San Antonio Winery in downtown Los Angeles, I saw reams of aging French oak barrels, as well as the heritage cellar and the bottling plant, which churn out 38,000 bottles or 38,000 barrels of wine a week. Now, you know, 38,000 barrels of wine a week. I read that and I'm going, huh? That doesn't seem right because a barrel of wine holds like 24.6 gallons. Let me rephrase it. A barrel of wine holds 24.6 cases. So if they're turning out 38,000 barrels a week, then that is, and let me do, I do have a calculator if it comes on. Yes, it does. 36,000 times 24.6 times 12 for number of bottles. That means that they are cranking out 10,627,200 bottles a week. I don't think so. But, you know. She goes on. Founded in 1917, the winery in Los Angeles is Los Angeles' largest and longest producing winery in the city and continues to be run by four generations of the Riboli family. She said, I had the pleasure of meeting its patriarch, 93-year-old Stefano, along with his wife, Maddalena, who is 92. Stefano noted that even during Prohibition, his winery remained open, producing altar wine for the Catholic Church. After much contemplation, she said, I bought home several wines, including Stella Rosa Black, a semi-sweet red wine infused with black cherry and wild berry notes. The Stella Rosa Platinum, which comes from vineyards in the Piedmont region of northern Italy, is my personal favorite. The Stella Rosa Imperial Moscato Rosé, a semi-sweet, semi-sparkling wine that is lightly effervescent and refreshing. 10 million bottles a week? I don't think so. 10.5 million, 10.6. If anybody's familiar with that out there, if anyone's familiar with that winery, get in touch with me. Send me an email or something. I'm going to try to look it up and see what I can find on that. But it's overwhelming the amount. Chicago Cubs outfielder Dexter Fowler put his coffee-making skills to the test. Fowler made a special appearance at the Chicago Peach Coffee on August 6th, where he served drinks to consumers. He raised more than $2,500 for charity. Chicago Cubs, as with all the other major league parks. I talked about this last week. Oh, actually, a couple of weeks ago, I started talking about this. And as I was talking about it, I said, you know, what do they serve in the ballparks around the country? What is the wines or the beers or anything? What do they serve? What can you get? I was thinking particularly wine, obviously, since we're all about wine. But what is available? What is all that? So I started to look. And why, I tell you, I am going nuts. There's not, you look on the internet and you try to find stuff on there and it leads you to everything else except what you want and all that. And I've been asking customers to come in. I've getting a lot of out-of-state people now. Traveling is good, which is wonderful. I'm glad that people, I guess, because gas is below $2 a gallon almost everywhere. But asking people who come into the winery if they're sports fans, if they're out-of-state and all that, and a lot of them are, and their favorite teams. And I was asking what beverages, what wine, beer, anything they serve at the different ballparks and the different venues. It doesn't have to be ballpark. It could be a football stadium. It could be ice hockey. It could be any number of places. As long as it's a professional team, really worth looking at. And people are saying they do. One person, I can't remember, I think it was hockey. Maybe it was here in Tampa or something. I think it might have been. They're talking about serving spirits, you know, whiskey or something at the game if you're in certain areas and stuff. And but most of the people didn't know the whole list, you know, as normal people say, oh, yeah, they serve wine. And that's the extent of their knowledge. I had one lady, I told her, I said, I'm trying to find out. I said, I would love to find out all the winery, or all the wines that are being served at all the major sports arenas and venues around the country. And I said, there's just not a place that you can find that. And she said, where have you? I said, well, internet, everything else. I said, there's just not one website that lets you know what's going on there. She says, well, start one. I thought, well, yeah, that would be interesting and that would be fun. I would have to probably contact each of the venues separately and try to find out what they do or see if they have a list or something, but I don't know. It might be a little bit of labor of love there, which I think I might try to do that. I got a lady who I know who can set up a website for me, and a website for me, and so I may do that. I'll keep you informed if you want to check it out when and if it gets happening or if I continue to progress doing it. But yeah. I think I might look into that and see what I can do about coming up with a website that lists ballparks, football stadiums, hockey stadiums, soccer stadiums. What profession am I forgetting here? I think that pretty much does it. I guess I can include golf or NASCAR, but, you know, NASCAR is beer. I can't see NASCAR really doing much more than beer. Yeah. What's that? Yeah. But yeah. My son-in-law is a big wine drinker, and he's a NASCAR fan. So I don't know. I may be wrong on that. But I think it'd be interesting. So I am going to start working on that, along with everything else I keep saying I'm working on, and I'm not getting done as fast as I had hoped, or as quickly, as thoroughly as I hoped. But it's not over. We'll still eventually get it done. So that's something else. If you know of a stadium, ballpark, anything around you, and you're aware of the wine, beer, spirits, anything that they serve there, let me know. You can call me on the guest line during the show, 646-727-3235. If you're listening to this on archives, and just email me. There's all sorts of ways to get in touch. So, but if you know, let me know. It's my first step in trying to get some sort of a list together. Some information for you. I was done with the reading and all that stuff. That's the things I wanted to talk about. But now a bit of information that I want to pass on to you. Let me get it here. Where is it? Okay. Oh, yeah, okay, here we go. This is the fire is being contained to fire update. The TTB issued some final rule on return of wine to bonded premises. All wineries in this country are bonded, and they have to be. So the TTB is clarifying the rules of returning it to bond after it's been sold or taken out of bond. You know, what? Oh, well. This is a interesting little map, and it's going to be impossible to describe it to you. It's mapping who drinks wine and beer, where people drink wine and beer. You can check this out. Let me give you this website, and it should take you right to it. But Emma Pearson, researcher at the University of Oxford, did this. It is the website qz.com/504533/where-people-drink-wine-and-beer where people-drink-wine-and-beer. You can put it on there and actually see the maps. But she said that over the summer and the fall of 2014, she collected more than 2 million tweets mentioning alcohol. And she put this together in a map of what drinks that people are drinking. And the majority of the country is beer. There are high concentrations of wine in the Texas Hill Country, duh, in Southern California, duh, California coast, duh, Northern California, duh, and Oregon and Washington, duh, and duh. I mean, who would not expect that? Also, a big area around Washington, D.C. for wine, and Maryland, that. And then, obviously, the Finger Lakes areas of New York. Now, these are all just the wine drink. Everything else is pretty much not. There are some that are neutral colors that's a cross between both of them. But overall, it's mostly blue. Now, women in the United States causes the map to start drastically changing to more of a purple shade, which she used as a wine shade. And it pretty much spreads all over California into Nevada, almost all of Washington and Oregon, a larger area of Texas, plus starting to pop up all through the Midwest states there. Well, what they're now calling Midwest is Indiana, Ohio, well, not Ohio so much as Eastern Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Missouri, Arkansas, Kentucky, all that area. Women, you know, Florida is a lot of women drinking wine there. Men drinking wine. About the only place that you really see purple is the northern coast of California, central coast of California, a little bit down in the southern valley, the Temecula area there, and the coast of Oregon with both beer and wine in Washington. I mean, that's it. So with her studies, that's what she came up with. Men prefer beer over wine, and women are sort of like both, but more wine. So if you want to see the map again, you can always check out the website I just gave you there, and it'll show you the pictures. Let's see. This is Chilean earthquakes. This was about a couple of weeks ago. I don't know if Chile earthquake, 8.3 magnitude earthquake that struck Chile, killed 8 people and forced 1 million from their homes, was centered in a wine area, which Chile seems to anymore be almost all wine area. But let me load this here and I'll... We'll load. There we go. Out of Decanter magazine, 8.3 magnitude earthquake struck in Chile. They're saying it's a major catastrophe. Waves 4.5 meters along the coastline, threatening the coastal vineyards. The Let's see. The Elgea Valley, the Mati Valley, and Choapa Valley. But the majority of the grapes of this region are Chardonnay, Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Syrah. So they also grow fruits for distilling of Pisco, P-I-S-C-O, which is their national brandy. But it has affected some of the growing areas and some of the fruit coming out of Chile. The earthquake there a few weeks ago, a couple weeks ago. So let's get out of this, and let's get out of this, and let's look at this. Africa. Here we go. Africa. Africa. Africa is going crazy on drinking wines. The Angola, the country of Angola, is drinking a lot of sparkling wines. Nigeria is drinking a lot of reds. And Africa overall is drinking more wines on an average 5 times more than the rest of the world. The exporters are increasing sales to Uganda, Kenya, and Ghana. Another key market is China, where exports are more than 30% last year. But Africa has jumped up. The sub-Saharan countries are drinking a lot of wine. The average African is the rise of 17.3% in 5 years of wine consumption. So Africa is becoming one of the big growing countries in the world for wine consumption. White wine is very, very popular. Chenin Blanc, Chardonnay, Sauvignon Blanc. And the reds that they're actually consuming more than anything are Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, and Pinotage. Pinotage is actually out of South Africa. That's their grape there. They have over 247,100 acres planted, and so mostly in Western Cape. And over 300,000 people are employed in Africa in the wine industry. So it's an exploding place for wine, Africa is. If you haven't noticed, we talked about China a lot. We talked about some of the areas. But Africa is one that is just going crazy with it. Let's see, where is it? Oh. Champagne region. I'm familiar with is in northern part of, more so northern part of France. The Champagne is dominated by three grapes, three varieties: Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and Pinot Noir. But there is another grape that has been left out of that. The Arbane Petit Misler, Fromentat, and Blanc Varal are permitted within the Champagne appellation, but have been almost forgotten by the region, who prefer the two Pinots and Chardonnay. They say it's more consistent in quality and in yield, but they are able, and it is permissible, to use the three other grapes, or four of the grapes. The vineyards of Champagne were rich in varieties before phylloxera and the Second World War devastated the region and its vineyards, and they were replanted with the three main varieties, and there's only a few parcels left of the mostly in Aub. A-U-B-E, boy, I don't know French at all, that dedicated to historic varieties because they are so difficult to grow. They said because they've been forgotten, it's not because of, not for nothing. It's true that they're fragile and 1 year out of five are green, but it's tough to keep them alive and all that. But the guy who's growing them says that is his job, and he will continue to do so, keep them alive and all. It says there's hopes that people will start using them and blend them more and all that, but it hasn't caught on yet. Climate change, he said, is making a difference. It's causing the grapes to ripen better. It's causing the grapes to produce a better, or causing the vines to produce a better grape. And it's being used by people to blend in with some Chardonnays and other bottles of wine. So it might happen. Who knows? You may be seeing more of these grapes on the market. They're keeping them alive. If it can work and if it can do it, you may see a little bit different taste in some of your champagnes from France because they're using a little bit different grape. Let's see. And this is... Mediterranean endangered grapes. I was going to talk about that too. Where is that? Well, I guess I won't talk about it because I can't find that. Oh well, so much for that. Maine, the great state of Maine, has... Well, where is that? Oh, here we go. The great state of Maine has been producing more grapes. Because of the cold weather there, and I'm sure they're using grapes from Cornell University and University of Minnesota. But Maine grapes, the grapes, they're saying, from Savage Oaks Vineyard and Winery and Union, said that the grapes are three and a half acres facing south with about 2,000 vines ready for harvest. This was last week. Destined to be turned into award-winning selection of white, red, rosé, and blush wines that are sourced completely from Barrett Hill Road Vineyard. Not many years ago, Maine-grown grapes were not really an option. Maine wineries actually did blueberries, apples, cranberries, honey, but not grape. Conventional wisdom said that the harsh winters and short growing season could not be beneficial to grapes. But as Savage Oak, they're used what used to be a hobby. Guy Elmer Savage used to raise sheep and beef cattle, and he grew blueberries, and he found the right grapes to plant in the area. They are cold hardy hybrid grape variety from the Minnesota. And in 2002, they began planting on a well-drained soil, and they are actually producing grapes now. And they're coming out with quite a few different varieties. There are fewer than 30 wineries in Maine. 21 belong to the Maine Winery Guild. And they're using locally grown grapes more and more because of the guild and the finding the cold hardy grapes are working well. The growth, they expect to be even more so. They said the gulf between wineries and craft beer industry is enormous. There's 60 breweries in Maine, and the wineries are limited to 21 at this time. So, Maine, who would know? We talked to Maine a while back on the program. Excuse me. I can't remember when, what program it was, but we talked to wineries in Maine, and all of them was fruit wines. It was, that's what they did. That's what they do. So we are now starting to see wines that come out of there that are made in Maine and made with grapes. So that's, you know, good. Good for them. The this is an interesting little bit. Which country has the least amount of pesticides in their wines? It's a big thing now. You know, this not only the organic, but also the biodynamic. And we talked about biodynamic and stuff like that. But question, which country's wines have the least amount of pesticides? And the answer, it's hard to say. Because pesticides vary from region to region. Certain countries have certain rules and regulations. We just heard about this thing in France where pesticides were blowing over onto another winery vineyard, and they sued. But, you know, pesticides include lots of stuff. I mean, you know, when you say pesticides, most people think about insects, spraying for insects, but it also includes herbicides and fungicides, which, you know, it's black rot, or, you know, any number of things that could cause a grape to go bad, you can spray. And these are all things that are in the vineyard. You know, some fungicides are used for grapes that are particularly susceptible to rot. Mold, powdery mold, downy mildew, all these things are sprayed, and they are all different types of pesticides, if you will. Bordeaux, Champagne, heavily sprayed chemicals like copper-based anti-mildew because of the humidity in those areas. They have to control it. Wines from around France are found that pesticide traces in every bottle. They singled out the Bordeaux and Champagne area and saying that it was just, you know, it's not good that they have all this, but, you know, without the spray, it's not going to survive some of this mold that they will get with the humidity. Another 2008 study by Kingston University in London also found heavy metals in wine from 15 countries in Europe, South America, and the Middle East may or may not have came from pesticides. It's probably some of it's from the soil. They're saying they picked up from the soil, which is, you know, maybe that's the minerality that people are always talking about. They published a list of the worst offending countries, which included Hungary, Slovakia, France, Austria, Spain, Germany, and Portugal. Among the countries faring the best were Italy and Argentina. United States and Canada, among other countries, were not part of the study, so we weren't even in there. And if you do, what part of the, you know, it's always becomes issues when you start looking at that. There's no actual comprehensive study saying how much pesticides is in wines overall in a country. It's not being done. But you have to look at all the possibilities of types of pesticides. If you're looking for wines with relatively low residue levels, stay focused on regions with dry climates, the drier zones of Chile, Argentina, and California, because those areas will not have to spray for mold and the moisture producing problems with the grapes. Or, pesticides are on apples, strawberries, bell peppers. Bell peppers are one of the worst things in the store for pesticides. So, you know, you really don't have to worry too much about the pesticides in wines. The way it's limited on when you can spray and what you can spray and after horizon and all this other stuff and different things. So, you know, I think it would be one of your least worrisome things if you're looking at wine. So, but there are pesticides. You have to account for that. Pierce disease. We've talked about this many times. Pierce disease. Florida has Pierce disease. Warmer areas have Pierce disease. The little bug cannot survive cold weather. It's a four-cycle insect and can't. Or the glassy-winged sharpshooter, I should say, is the vector, is the carrier of Pierce disease, and the bug cannot survive cold weather. So, not in the upper climates. The bacterium is Xylella fastidiosa, works by blocking the xylem, which conducts water around the plant, and it kills the plant. The entire plant will die anywhere from 1 to 5 years once infected by Pierce disease. They are finding a concerning number of Pierce disease in different areas. The Napa and Sonoma counties have found the glassy-winged sharpshooter and Pierce disease in different areas of those counties. If you're a wine people out there, leaves turn slightly yellow or red along the edges. The fruit clusters that are shriveled and raisin looking, dried leaves fall off. Wood on the new cane that matures irregularly, producing patches of green. These are all signs of Pierce disease. It's a problem that is being compounded by the weather. Again, global climate change is causing it to get warmer further north, and because of that, Pierce disease is spreading north, and it's in areas that have never been in before, and it's being, it's a problem. I know that's repetitious, but it's Pierce disease is scary. We live with it here in Florida, and most of the country doesn't know about it. And when I first came down here, that's when I first discovered it. And whenever I tell people about it, everyone is always surprised. I tell them we can't grow premium grapes in Florida. And everybody's nodding their head, yeah, you can't. And everyone's thinking it's the humidity and the soils and the climates. And it's not. It's Pierce disease. And people are shocked and surprised that it's something they've never heard of. They think it's all this other stuff. So the Valley Fire, this is the big one. This is the one that has killed people. This is the one that has destroyed numerous homes. It is the one that went through the community of Middleton in California, Middletown, and just wiped out almost the entire town. It has consumed more than 76,000 acres in Lake, Sonoma, and Napa counties, and is considered one of the top three most destructive fires in state history. Of a total of 1,910 structures were destroyed, 2,800 firemen still remain on the scene, but it has been 87% contained. So, it looks good. It looks like it might be over after all of everything being done and all that. It might be done. Excuse me. We can only hope. It was a devastating fire and one that did really do a number, and we can only hope. The TTB has new information for wineries and others affected by Western wildfires. They have new rules and regulations coming out because of that. But we hope that that fire is, this is from a couple days ago, so let's hope that it's even more contained now. Francis Ford Coppola, you've all heard of him and his daughter Sophia. Francis Ford Coppola announced Thursday that he has renamed the former Geyser Peak Winery. I don't know if you're familiar with Geyser Peak. Geyser Peak's been around for a long time. I've watched Geyser Peak from Geyserville is really where it's from. But he will rename it, and it's now being called the Virginia Dare Winery. Virginia Dare, if you're not familiar, is the first English child born to American colonists. That was in 1587. Virginia Dare Winery. Copley purchased the winery in 32 acres of vineyard in Alexander Valley in March of 2013. Although the Geyser Peak brand, was not part of the deal, and it was retained by Alkylate Wines of North America, he decided to release a series of four wines, the White Doe, Mantillo, Two Arrowheads, and the Lost Colony, serving as clues before formally renaming the winery. He says, "The myth of Virginia Dare always intrigued me, and as a child I remember the Virginia Dare wine because of the pretty blonde girl on the label and the, quote, say it again, Virginia Dare jingle they used to advertise on the radio." Coppola said in the statement, continuing, "My goal is to revive the wine brand so that it isn't lost to future generations. The winery's new home in Geyserville is the ideal location in the heart of American wine country to tell the origin stories of American wine." So there it is. If you see Virginia Dare Winery on there, that's old Geyser Peak wineries. The picture is going to be Virginia Dare across it, American Wines, and also a picture of Virginia Dare, blonde-haired young woman. Francis Ford Coppola Winery is the 18th largest U.S. winery, producing 1.25 million cases in 2014. He also owns Inglenook Winery in Rutherford. So, there you go. New name for a winery. And Francis Ford Coppola's got the money to do it. I think we're done for the night. I told you I wanted to get this a little bit early tonight. I had things to take care of. So we are leaving you. I'm going to start seeing if we can't get some haunted wineries on, or have to get a hold of Joy Neighbors, who is our resident ghost spirits person. And so we'll get her back on the program before the month is out. We've got four more Thursdays. There's five Thursdays in the month, so we've got plenty of time. So tune in next week, and we will let you know, or check the website out at any time. You can always check on the website. There's lots of stuff on that. And email me or get in touch with me too if you have any ball stadiums or hockey rinks or football stadiums or anything that you know the wines that they serve, or any drink. And here, let's Wine Fest is coming up, is day after tomorrow, and it's actually not really a wine fest, but it is. So here's some information. Be back in
coming up this Saturday at Florida Estates Winery, it's Wine Fest, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy live music, have a little fun, and shop our vendors providing unique handmade items and some brand names you have known for years. Participate in an informative wine tasting with wine expert and show host, Ron. Sample some of Florida Estates Winery's world-class wines. Shopping is always fun, and Wine Fest is a great way to pick up unique gift items. Come out to Florida Estates Winery and enjoy the weekend with us. Listen to live music and shop under the giant oak trees while enjoying a glass of your favorite wine. This is a family event, and pets are welcome at Florida Estates Winery. See you there. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Call 813-996-2113 or email corp@flune.com. That's C-O-R-P at F-L-E-W-N.com for more information. Florida Estates Winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Thank you, Mike. That was Mike. He's not with us again this week. He will be hopefully next week. That is a good possibility. But Wine Fest, actually, it's Pasco Pet Fest, and it's going to be big. A lot of vendors, a lot of fun, a lot of pet rescue groups there and all that. If you're looking for someone to join you as a pet, this is a great place to pick them up. They are, have a lot of them there and all that. So try to make it. We will look forward to seeing you this Saturday if you're out there. If you do come out Saturday and you listen to the program, tell me. I want to know. I like to hear about people listening to the show. It's always fun to know that someone is out there listening. And we are pretty much done for this week. Have yourself a wonderful week. Be safe. Enjoy the weather. And drink lots of wine. We'll see you next week.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron, Vice President and General Manager of Florida Estates Winery. Florida Estates Winery is located at 25241 State Road 52 in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 or east of U.S. 19 and U.S. 41. For more information on Florida Estates Winery, visit the website at FloridaEstatesWines.com or call area code 813-996-2113. The email address is corp@flune.com. That's corp@flewn.com. For more information on All About Wine and future shows, please like us on Facebook at facebook.com/allaboutwineBTR or visit our website at allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available as a free download on iTunes and on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on All About Wine.